We want to pick up where we left off last week in verse 2 of chapter 1, where Peter has declared God's people elect according to his knowledge of them from before the foundation of all creation. A knowledge of who this people would be because he had chosen them unto salvation. That's what it says. Listen to these words in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, we read it this way: as according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. There's the power and the blood. We should be holy and blameless before our God. We were chosen to be that way before the world was ever began. God's love was set upon us before a star ever twinkled in the sky. To prove that, listen to these words: before Jacob and Esau were born, God had chosen to be merciful to one and not the other. We read in Romans 9:11, for the children being not yet born, speaking of Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil, before they were born and had a chance to operate their free will that the world claims they have, God had set his love upon one and his hatred upon the other, before they had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, in verse 12, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Oh, Lord forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now last week we considered a condition for salvation of these elect, these chosen folks. Salvation is unconditional for man. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. It is unconditional election to man. But salvation is conditional. The reason it's unconditional for man is because man cannot nor does not he want to do what must be done. Salvation is of the almighty sovereign will of God. That's the condition. It is by his grace and his grace alone. He does not require anything of men, but he does require something. He requires perfection. He requires holiness. And we cannot... And can we not be thankful that all he does require is fulfilled in his Son, the Lord Jesus? The very blood that we sang about, the power in the blood, is his blood. The word says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, there in verse 2 of chapter 1. Through sanctification of the Spirit. This morning I'd like to spend a little bit of our time considering the next phrase of that. If you'll read with me along with in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Now look at these words: unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, just a few pages to the left there. We may not be able to get through this entire section of our text, so let's focus this morning on this word obedience. The word used here means compliance, submission. Our Savior was compliant to the Father's will. We know there are three distinct persons that complete the Godhead, yet these three are one. A mystery? Yes. Unexplainable by men's words? Yes. Yet it is God's word, so therefore it is so. In Deuteronomy, we read this. Hear, O, in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And then in 1 John 5, verse 7, we read this, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Too big for this mind to understand completely, but not big enough that I can't believe it.
Amen.
Now let's remember the fact that belief in the Lord our God, to sit and believe, to truly believe in our hearts His Word, it is a gift of Him. And we know that because we all look back on the day when we didn't believe it. And as ones who were once blind, we can look back and say, I know I was blind back then because I couldn't see the truth of what I'm seeing today. And I know that it is my Lord who worked something in my heart to give me this sight to see. We're talking about the obedience of one to the Holy Three in One, to the God the Father. Everything our Lord Jesus Christ does pleases the Father. He even teaches you and I to pray this way, does He not? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what the Lord taught His disciples how to pray? Thy will be done, Lord, not mine. Our Lord submitted Himself to the obedience of His Father. Why? Well, His Father made an agreement. I'm going to give you some people. Out of all of creation, there's going to be some that I'm going to give to you on the account that you go and become a man, become flesh, walk perfectly in their stead, and submit yourself as their substitute, as their sacred, as their sacrificial lamb. And that's exactly what our Lord did in obedience to the Father's will. Did not our Lord submit Himself when He said, Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, this very cup, I can't even imagine. Perfection. Perfection being made sin. How can our finite little minds even comprehend what that means? Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. That's in Matthew 26:42. Folks, this is the oneness of Christ and His people with His Father, spoken of that we read about the last two Sundays in a row from the chapter 17, from John chapter 17. We submit to His Lordship. We submit to His sovereignty. We willingly obey. We willingly begin to obey Him because of His grace, because of His grace in coming to us in the day of His love, giving us a willing spirit. We willingly submit ourselves to Him. This is the new birth, where once we fought against the truths of God, we denied the truths, we even rebelled against these truths. It is my will, I would say, not thine. Now we willingly bend to His will. Submitting Himself, our Lord, into going to the cross was bending. It was willfully bending, yet bending it was. Picture, if you can, He who knew no sin submitting Himself to such lowliness, perfect in every way, becoming sin for you and I. I can't even imagine the depth of that foulness and the foulness of that. Can you? Yet He did. He says to you and I have loved you with an everlasting love. And as we read in Scriptures and believe in our own hearts, nothing can separate us from His love. If anything could, He would not be God. If you love your child, would you not do all that you could to stop harm from coming their way? I remember Don Fortner giving us an example of that when he would come to preach for us once in a while. His daughter, you know, he had one daughter. And they had a little bit of a driveway going down to the road down below. And he would bring up, he says, you know, if I saw her running down towards the street, what do you think I'm going to do? Just sit there and say, yep, it's her will. It's her decision to go. He goes, no, I'm going to run down and grab her. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've got two children. I've got a grandchild, and I've got a great-grandchild, and I would do the same for them. And all of you who have children or any loved one in your life knows exactly what that means. That's what true love is. It's giving yourself for the one you love. And Christ did exactly that. He gave the ultimate gift. Are you with me in Hebrews chapter 10? Look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The word used here, perfected, means literally to accomplish. Figuratively, it means to consummate. If it's used in character, it means to consecrate, to finish, to fulfill, to make perfect. Our holiness, our perfection, our standing before the Almighty is as holy as He is. Our standing before our sovereign God is in the Lord Jesus and only in Him. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6? To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in ourselves? No. It says in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus. For by one offering He, our Lord, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Did I miss something? I'm thankful that was a Bible study and not a main message. Well, our Lord, we're talking about in our subject matter here, unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our Lord was obedient even to the death of the cross. And I know there was a whole lot, I think I'm missing a page. We are accepted, but only in Him. Not in Him plus something that you might become or something that you are doing now, but in Him and in Him alone. It is to His praise and to His glory and of His grace. Glory be to God, I am His and He is mine. This unworthy worm belongs to Jesus, and by my Savior's obedience, even the obedience of the death of His death and of the cross, I will be His forever. Man, I'm sorry, folks. I know I had another page, but I must have done something to it, and the Lord just decided, you know what, it wasn't to be brought before the people. But it had to do with our Lord's obedience. It had to do with our Lord submitting Himself to the will of God the Father. And that's what we do now. You know, this is exactly what I was talking about from Polly Mary a few moments ago. This is exactly what I've heard her speak about over the last 2 weeks since her son has been gone through this. This is what I've heard my own brother speak about losing his son. Thy will be done. This virus that's going through the world, thy will be done. We spent some time yesterday watching TV, watching all the remembrances of what happened on 9/11. Some of you may have also. I thought it was important to me, and that's who I'm talking about here is me. I'm not saying that anybody else should have, but important to me to remember the feelings that I had when that happened to our country. It was. It made me almost throw up again. The only difference is today I know that we got past it. There was a time when that first happened. Cassie says, where were you when that happened? I says, well, I was in the office. I was out on the dock working or something, and one of the guys, Bob, I forget what his last name was, he come walking in. He was carrying a small little one of the little TVs with the antennas sticking up out of it, and he plops it down right there on the dispatch desk, and he's, come here, John, come here. What in the world's going on? And I walked in the office, and he had plugged it in by the time I got there and tuned it in, and by golly, there it was. You could see the first plane hitting the towers. I was so sick. I was so sick, but yet in our world, and I was new to the Lord at that time. I was still new to the things that were happening in the world and how everything relates to being in God's sovereign power. But even then, the Lord was teaching me as he was teaching others. Not my will, not our will, but his will be done. And that's the whole thing of the sovereignty of God. People have told me that I harp on that a little too much, that not just me, but all of God's preachers, so-called Calvinists, harp on the sovereignty too much. How can you harp on the sovereignty of God too much? I happen to like hearing more about it. It happens to bless my heart to know that I can't stumble and take myself away from him. Because I know if I could, I would. I know if I could, I would. But because he's loved me, he won't let me. And that's a blessing that only God's people can know through experience. Amen. Stand with me if you would.